Heather.
Ah. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the SkyPod from Access Astrology, three astrologers that bring you our vision of the astrological weather for the week. And we're spread around the country. We have two in New York. I, Heather Rowan Robbins, am speaking to you from Trinidad, Colorado tonight. And I'm joined by Mark Wolf from, where are you, Mark?
I'm in Manhattan on the west side by the Hudson River, which is pretty cool at the moment. No ice, though.
No ice yet, huh? Okay, that's good to know.
And we have Ann Ortley.
Yes, and I'm Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk overlooking the street. I don't have a river view. I'm jealous.
No ice on the street either.
Yeah, no noise on the street. No, I have a quiet little 72nd Street on a dead end, so my street's quiet, which is always good. Always good.
And here in Trinidad, Colorado, it's a lot warmer. It's below freezing, but it's a lot warmer than it was in North Dakota, where I left it a few days ago and drove down through the most amazing empty countryside, missing right between two storms. I was very lucky to catch that corridor. And today, we are heading into the dark of the moon in Sagittarius, and people may be feeling restless and excited and, you know, impatient with what delays have been going on in their life, really impatient. And the impatience can be good if it takes us to a journey. Sagittarius doesn't want us to stay around in muck. It wants us to walk out of it. It wants us to make progress, make a change, take a stand. Today, the Sun squared Uranus. And Sun squared Uranus says, make a change. And it's probably more than your light bulbs. What change do you want to make?
Right.
It's what change do you want to make, and how can you make it for the better? Today, with the dark of the moon in Sagittarius, we're dreaming about it. We're irritated about it. We may be planning for it, and how soon can we make this happen? For the next little bit, we're going to talk about the astrology of the week amongst the three of us, and then about quarter past, 20 past, we will ask for callers to call in, have your birth data handy. We will ask for it right away. And feel free to ask us a question. We'll spend about 5 minutes with each caller if that comes up. And more if the question requires it and we've got time. So there's some very interesting aspects coming up that are making us ready for the holidays, excited, different. Change, new vision coming in, impatience with the old ways, and possibly really frustrated about progress that we would like to make that feels like it's about to be put on hold. But it's not to be stopped, it's just put on hold as Mars retrogrades and so does Mercury the day after Christmas. So let's start off. Mark, what do you see are some of the highlights for this week ahead?
Well, we have a new moon coming up Wednesday, which is, where are we? Today's Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So two more days. We get a new moon at 24 Sagittarius. And then we have some activity with Venus later in the week. Venus will square Uranus, which is always fun because you never know what it will bring in. It will bring in something to do with finance or romance or friendships or some artistic inspiration, but something unexpected comes along, and or maybe something just unusual. And then, so, you know, a lot of times squares, we think of them as difficult, but I think there's such a nice surprise with Uranus squares that they're not necessarily difficult. They're just surprising. And you know, especially when it's to Venus. There's some other squares from Uranus that are harder to take. But to Venus, I think, you know, if you have a sense of humor, it has somewhere to go with you. And then Venus goes on and does a sextile with Chiron and Jupiter and then Neptune. And that'll all happen as we get toward Monday. And Monday, Jupiter conjuncts Neptune. that brings in different kind of possibilities. So it depends on what you're working on, where you are in kind of figuring out your path in life. But the Jupiter conjuncting Neptune can be a good moment to sort of get your spiritual insight together. Or if you're being just kind of dreamy and lost in Austin or something, you can get a little more lost. And that's not necessarily so good. So you want to try to be somewhat grounded for that, at least to test what's coming to you. Those are the main things I see for the week.
Okay. Cool. I guess I'm next.
And what are you seeing?
Yeah, I kind of am like, when I look at the new moon and the Mars chart, the Mars stationing chart, you know, for some reason that 24 or 25 of Pisces, or Sag rather, the number felt familiar. And I thought, I think I know that number. And I went looking, and it's in the fall of 2007, in December of 2007 actually, Jupiter and Pluto joined in late Sag. And the new moon that week before they joined was on this point. So it's kind of bringing up that Jupiter-Pluto story to me. The configuration's even the same. It's a bucket chart with Mars and Saturn as the handles. So I look at this chart and I go, okay, we got all these planets bunched on one side of the sky, and then over opposite the other, Mars is stopping and looking at them and talking to them and saying, okay, I'm the leader of the band, but I have to go back and get my stuff. I forgot my instrument. And I'm out of here for a while. You guys are all on your own. You know, talk amongst yourselves. Because he's going to be retrograde for 3 months and then still in the shadow till middle of May. And then Saturn is high in the chart cast for the East Coast, in Libra. And he's just finished his square to Pluto. And also we have a Mars-Venus trine, which I always like in fire. You know, it's just kind of a nice energy. So it's kind of in a week where it felt to me like we would be stopping moving forward. We'd be feeling an enormous amount of frustration because of the breaking of Mars, stopping in the sky. And then at the same time, with the stuff to Uranus, the Sun and Venus both squaring Uranus and Jupiter and Neptune and sextiling Chiron, or squaring Chiron? Or they're sextiling the Jupiter-Neptune and whatever, and they're squaring Uranus. We have the breakthrough in seeing things, and we have the breakthrough in emotions with Venus. And then we have the, oh, okay, now that I've seen it, with the trine, with the sextile, rather, to the Gang of Three, we kind of get the, oh, okay, well, what do I want to do with it? And then next week, Jupiter and Neptune join, because we're in the fog of them, that says, okay, here's your dream. Are you ready to go forward? By the way, your driver is gone back to get the keys. So just sit in the car for a while. Play amongst yourselves, you know, talk to the person in the chair next to you, because you're not going anywhere till March. But you can think about a lot of stuff, and you can have a good time hanging out. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was like, you know, the breakthrough, the shock, that you're not going anywhere, but it brings up the story from 2007, when Pluto was just about to go into Capricorn. And really, if we think about it, you know, we've really, this last 2 years while Pluto's been in Capricorn since January of 2008, we've danced back and forth. We've had the economy kind of collapse and then kind of get saved. And then we had Saturn in Virgo, and then he got into Libra and he said, okay, I'm ready to go change Pluto. And then he said, oh, wait, I'm not so ready anymore. So it kind of feels like, can we please get on with the show? You know, the dress rehearsal feels like it should be over yet, but we have to wait until Mars comes back. And so I'm kind of like, okay, I'm ready to go. Where's the party? But we're waiting for the ride. So it feels very frustrating on one level. And on another level, I know that these kind of delays or pokies or reverses or whatever, that they're all part of the process of really being in the right place when you're ready to go forward. So I know the Mars retrograde is supposed to make us think again and look again. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, can't we go forward? And no.
We have a wonderful example of that going on in our life.
Mm-hmm.
my mate just, we're living now in northern North Dakota, teaching on Indian reservation, and it's been really fascinating for several years, frustrating and fascinating at this particular place. And lovely, wonderful-hearted people. Well, my mate has just taken a job in Minneapolis, and we'll be moving there. We know now that we're moving, but we won't be able to move until the end of the semester in the springtime. So
right.
We're being sent back to finish all of the unfinished karmic work at the college and with the people and with our wonderful neighborhood and community before we can launch the next one. But we'll be doing it in a very different way, completing rather than continuing or beginning.
Right.
So I think that fits with the metaphor that you're talking about. There's that not right now, but in January and especially in January, but January, February, and March, there's a sense of you are completing a cycle because you already know that the new cycle is beginning.
Right.
You're finishing something up with a vision of where you're going to be going afterwards or a direction. It's like, which way do you drive through town if you know that you're heading to California? You know, that you're not there yet, you still have this work to deal with, but you're heading in that direction. Does that fit with what you were saying, Ann?
Totally. And I think that's a really good analogy, that we're ready to go forward, but we still have stuff to do that we can't go yet. And in the spring we can go, actually in July we can go, but then it's like, another 6 months, oh my God. You know, but I mean, I've got examples of it. I had one woman who got her book back with editorial remarks, so she has to make the changes.
Right.
Another one who got really positive feedback about how to expand what she'd submitted with it from an editor. It's not, you know, a contract, but it's moving. And I know in my case, you know, it's the never-ending getting things organized piece. But it seems to be making, you know, more progress, but I'm kind of like, you know, I need to rethink how I do things. So I know for me it's personally reorganizing. And I do see it in a lot of places. It's like we're ready on some level to go forward, but not just yet. You got the winter to kind of figure out the last little pieces. But the part that really feels frustrating is like, really, another 6 months? But truth be told, we need another 6 months.
Right. Evolution takes a while.
Evolution takes a while, yeah. Yeah. And settling into Capricorn. And the other part of it is because Mars is in Leo, he's working for the good of the solar chart. He's working for the good of the sun in every chart. So whatever your sun is, Mars needs to go back and do something before your sun can go forward because he's in the sign of Leo. So he goes, I know you think you're ready to go, but you haven't finished this thing over here yet, so you need to go finish it. Then you're really ready to go forward. And then you go, your ego son goes, but can't I go now? No, we got to finish that. When we finish that, then we can go. It's kind of like eat your vegetables, then you get dessert. Except it's Mars being the taskmaster instead of Saturn. Saturn's like, I'm ready. And Mars is saying, no, not yet. We have to go get something, and then we're ready. So, yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. And then once Mars comes back, Saturn then goes, oh, wait, I forgot something, and he goes. He's gone in April, May, June.
It's like trying to get a herd of children out of the house. And he's forgetting something, and
right.
Then you've got everybody almost in the car. The youngest has to go back and pee.
I have to pee, right. Yeah, why the sales manager used to call it herding, you know, working with salespeople was like herding cats. You know, trying to get them all going in the same direction. Dogs herd, cats don't. So, yeah, everybody's going. And everybody's kind of going in, oh, wait, I forgot. Oh, no, and it's kind of that energy. At the same time, the vision's getting clearer, finally. Heavens, we're getting clearer. So with the Jupiter-Neptune,
you know, you
clearing.
Just described the Congress.
Yeah. Well, I listened to the radio shows this week, and the guys were all on the radio on Sunday morning going, the healthcare bill is unraveling. I'm like, of course it's unraveling. Pluto's stationing. Mars is stationing, rather. We're going to unravel. We're not going forward. We're going back for 3 months. So, yeah.
And yet, you know, and if I were not patient with this, I want to go back and go over some of the basic planetary patterns right now just to get the audience on board. It is a new moon in Sagittarius on Wednesday morning. So right now the sun is in Sagittarius, the moon is in Sagittarius, and they're sandwiching Venus in Sagittarius. Venus and the Sun are trining Mars in Leo. So you've got those four planets in fire signs, which are all go, 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 even if Mars is stationing, it's still wanting
still
to
wants to go.
Marathon.
He's like the
right.
little cartoon with the legs spinning underneath
too.
Him, like
right.
Roadrunner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got the emotional energy moving forward. It's very upbeat. On a good day, it can be very upbeat, but it's not patient. And it's not particularly introspective, but it is good for helping us just, you know, that it's there's a lot of social weaving that is the holiday season after Thanksgiving until the sun goes into Capricorn, and then it becomes more about family and history and tradition right over the Christmas holidays. But right now, with the sun in Sagittarius and all these planets and fire signs, it is about weaving our connections, the socializing, the connections. The people have less patience with Christmas shopping than usual, not only because no one has any money to do it, but because the sun up in fire signs hates to wait in line. But it does allow us to reach out to, you know, to connect with people we haven't connected with in a long time, or new people, or just laugh with people in the hallway if we can, to use the socializing time the best we can. And it's a little hard on those that are sick. They may be less patient than usual. I know you two have been fighting off illnesses, and a lot of people are right now. We have no patience with that because we want to get up and do things.
Right.
Along with that, Mercury is in Capricorn, pulling away from its last week's conjunction to Pluto, or the week before that. So it's still thinking dourly and deeply about some important changes and connections that need to be made and taking things seriously. You know, we agreed to the move on the day that Mercury conjunct Pluto's square Saturn. You know, it was time to make serious decisions. With Mercury in Capricorn, we can get discouraged easily if we don't see progress, and it's hard to see progress with Mars stationing. So if we can give ourselves little things to do, a little progresses to make, you know, things to check off our list, work that can be gotten done one step at a time, we're going to be making progress. Now, my phone is, Mercury is getting ready to station, so my phone is doing something strange. It was fully charged, but now it's making funny noises. So if it suddenly goes off, continue without me until I can get a new phone.
So you may disappear from us. Okay.
All right, if I disappear from you, know I love you, and I'll be back as soon as I can get a phone. But also that
good Mars station story.
Yeah, and Uranus square the sun. You know, right now we are having technical difficulties.
We are, let me tell you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
Cat ran off with the back of my recording device today. I don't know what he did with it.
You're kidding.
No, he's teething. He's stealing things and chewing on them and teething them and then hiding them under things. So I lost the little black piece that sits in the back that holds the batteries in.
Yeah.
That is Uranus, you know, the cat ran away with the battery pack. That's a new one.
Yes.
I like that one. So Mars is stationing and opposed that Uranus, Jupiter, and the Gang of Three. But the Gang of Three conjunction, it really does feel like our desires for the healthcare package are moving forward, because I see those three so tightly linked with the image of a national healthcare plan and healthcare reform, the Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune conjunct. But with Mars opposed it and stationed, it feels like there is a stalemate that's threatening and will probably click in. And it's like, how can we hold on? We look at anywhere in our life where we've got a vision. If it feels like a stalemate, we need to hold the vision, do the reviews, but not give up the vision while we're going through these delays. As you said, keep clarifying those visions. Keep holding it and seeing how we can seed it and take it into the next level of the future. So, and Mark, comments to make?
Well, you know, it's funny. I hear and sense a lot of this sort of backpedaling and, you know, frustration with the Mars retrograde. But I have to confess, I'm not feeling it personally.
Oh, good, yeah.
And here's why. Because I'm an Aries, and my natal Mars is in Leo.
Aha! So
Mars in Leo. I don't care. I don't care if it's going forward, going backward, standing on its head. Mars in Leo is cool for me.
That's wonderful.
So I feel like it's right at home. And it is a fire sign, and so, you know, I don't feel like there's anything holding back. But that's on, you know, that's personal. Most of y'all out there don't have Mars and Leo.
But you pointed out to what we can tune into.
Yeah.
You know, that when we feel the frustration, it's not about stopping us.
Right.
What's the best way to use Mars and Leo? How can you help us with that?
Well, you remember that Leo is a fire sign, and so Mars is wanting to work in a fiery and very proud way, in a way that doesn't, you know, want to take a back seat or hide. So in fact, you know, if you're having trouble, you know, we were using the story of getting the kids out of the house and into the car, right? Use the Leo argument for them, you know. Make them all happy and proud to be going where we're going, you know. What can you do to get us out the door and get people to notice us, you know, and all that. So if you bring that enthusiasm into it, you'll move past some of the frustration. Or at least you'll feel you're moving past it.
That sounds beautiful. And do you want to give... Want to give out the number to see if we can bring in callers?
Okay, cool. Yes, the switchboard is open, and our phone number is... I'm pulling out the little thing here. It is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881, and we do have a caller on the line, so I'll pick him up. Hello, caller. You're there. 111.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, you gang of three.
Yeah, the gang of three. Oh, we're the gang of three. I hadn't thought of it that way. But, yeah, I don't know. Who wants to be Chiron? Not me.
I'll take Chiron.
You'll take Chiron?
Chiron?
Mark, what do you want, Jupiter or Neptune?
Neptune.
Okay, so I'm Jupiter. All right.
You are very Jupiterian, honey.
All right, do you have a question for us?
I do. Would you like my birthday?
Well, if it's an astrological question, yep. If it's another kind.
I'm going to be off the phone for a minute, and then I'll be back on.
All right, okay. And your birthday. Wait a minute, I'm pulling up my solar fire. There goes Heather, the little binging sound in the distance. So what's your question?
Career. I'm an actress, and I was wondering if you see anything coming up for acting.
Okay. And your birthday is?
February.
Mm-hmm.
26th.
Mm-hmm.
1981.
Mm-hmm.
8:41 p.m. Mm-hmm. Livingston, New Jersey.
Okay, and do you live in New York now, or are you still in Livingston?
I do. I live in New York City.
Okay, cool. And your first name?
Ellie.
Ellie, okay. So you're an actress and you're looking for acting work. All right, let's see. Mark, do you have the chart up too?
No, I'm still trying to type it in here somewhere.
Okay, so it's February 2, 81, 8:41 in the morning, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so acting for you, got a lot of planets in the fifth, which is a good chart for doing artistic work. It's got a call to do art and creativity, which is very strong. And you are... not had your Saturn return yet, so you're in the young phase. Right now what you've got is you've got Saturn going through your 12th house. So usually when that happens, there's more behind-the-scenes work, or there's more work as an understudy, or more work kind of out of sight. So people can do voiceover work with that. It's definitely a good time for classes, and it's a good time for... you know, stuff where you're honing your craft, but you're not necessarily in the public view. With Saturn in the 12th, it gives a little bit more of a, you know, you're still working on how you're doing your stuff. When you have your Saturn return, which happens this fall coming up, and then Saturn comes into your first, there's Heather, she's back, and then Saturn comes back into your first house, that's the time I think you'll probably feel like you're finding more work. I think right now you're going to be doing a lot of work more behind the scenes, or more maybe voiceover work. I don't know if you do anything like that. You do have Neptune in the third, so that can certainly show as voiceover work. But a good stellium there in the fifth house for the creativity. But Saturn right now, which is technically the planet of work, he's hiding in the 12th. So are you working on any screenplays? Are you working on any one-woman shows? Doing rep stuff, any kind of repertoire, doing any auditioning and getting cast as the understudy? That would be the way that work would show up right now, where you're doing the work, but you're not necessarily seen. Is any of that kind of stuff happening?
Oh, I've had tons of stuff like that. So many stories.
Okay.
It always falls through at the end.
Right. Well, Saturn right now is in the 12th, so it's not supposed to come of, nothing's supposed to come of it per se. I mean, it's not that it's not, you're not getting stuff, but you're trying, and it doesn't quite collapse. When Saturn
with Saturn in the 12th, it's old work comes back to you. Contacts that you had before, earlier on in your life, need to be woken up because you're going back and finishing unfinished business. It's also sometimes work where you're not necessarily visible, so it's behind-the-scenes work versus in front of the camera work. But either one of those, you're building now foundations for how the success that will follow afterwards when Saturn gets into the first house. So even if it feels not as successful now, what can you do that's about laying foundations, about building those contacts, of nurturing the connections so that when Saturn comes across the ascendant, you're really ready to build your castle?
Yeah. I had a client who had it, and she basically spent like 2 years going to yoga class and kind of running around meeting people and learning things. And then when Saturn popped out of the, and I kept saying, when Saturn gets out, you're going to be really busy, but right now, not so busy. And Saturn popped out of her ascendant, and she's like running around like a crazy person with all the people that she met doing all the yoga classes and stuff as sources, new sources of business. So it feels, the frustration with that placement is it feels like you're 12 months pregnant and you can't give birth to yourself. And literally, the 12th house is when the woman is 9 or 10 months pregnant. You know, she's huge, she can't move, she can't walk, baby's not here yet, everybody's patting her stomach and saying, so when's it coming? When's it coming? And she wants to hit them. And, you know, the energy is frustrating, but it also is productive because you're actually making the baby. You just can't see it yet. It's cooking away inside. And, you know, the doctor can do the sonogram and say, oh, yeah, it grew a couple inches. And you're like, yeah, get it out of me. But you're like 10 months pregnant right now through next fall, okay? And then when Saturn...
Oh, it's almost done.
Huh?
It's almost done.
It's almost done, but it's not quite there yet. But it is not ready to pop. So your timer isn't ready yet. But keep doing the work because you do have good aspects for working in the creative field, working in the art world. And you also have your progressed descendant or your progressed sun at age 22 went into Aries, and you have, once it rises above the horizon in a few years, it's going to come to trine your Uranus sun, which is a bit of a breakout, but when it rises over the seventh house cusp, that's also a very prominent time for you to be seen publicly for your creative work. So you're on the right path, just not time
right.
yet.
And with Saturn, with Saturn in the 12th, it's also that... sometimes it's saying that you have karmic work in other parts of your life that you won't be able to get to once you get really busy in the business. So what relationship issues can you finish? What personal development stuff can you do now that you won't have time for when you get really busy? So think of all the things that would create a full, healthy, rounded life for you. And anything that you can make progress on now, do, so that when you do get busy, when Saturn crosses over your ascendant, and that doesn't mean you won't work at all between now and then, but just, you know, the big pieces will fall in place after that.
You'll be more of an understudy if you work, though.
Right. If you work now, what your work, you know, the work that you do now, when you're really busy, you won't have time to do all these other pieces, but you will need that rounded life, that rounded sense of self, that complete sense of karma, gestalt in your life when you do get busy to maintain it and not burn out. So that looks to me what you need to prioritize now. Any more questions on that?
Well, does it matter that my Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn are retrograde?
No.
Natalie?
No.
No, not to the transits. That talks about, in general, for you, there was so much in your life about completing karma that, you know, you may have felt it many times in your life that you were finishing a book that you never read the first half of. That there were sort of karmic intensities in your life that you couldn't really explain based on this lifetime.
What was your interpretation of that? Did someone say something?
We
practice astrology rehab, bad astrology rehab here too. So did someone say something to you about that?
Yes, somebody said that my Saturn was retrograde and it had to do with my father at 8.5.
Yes, that's true. Because Saturn retrograde indicates that there was a story with your father around 8.5.
But not necessarily a trauma.
Not necessarily a trauma, but that there could have been a loss or a distancing or some kind of separation. But that does that have to do with being an actress?
No, they asked me if my parents divorced at 8 because the Saturn is with the moon at 8. And she's like, that's your mother and that's your father.
Mm-hmm.
They were married. They didn't divorce.
Mm-hmm. It often has nothing to do with divorce. I mean, again, that's sometimes Saturn is seen as far more tough or evil than it really is. Sometimes with Saturn and moon together, it could mean that your mother was working hard. Or that you felt that your parents were working together, and they may not have been as emotionally available as they might have been at other times because they were focusing on something that they needed to do, some responsibility that they were carrying through, or family responsibility was weighing heavily on them. It doesn't mean that you learn to be a very responsible person at that age. You learn to, you know, step up to the plate and be more mature than, you know. So now, later on, you went back and learned how to play.
Okay.
Yeah, think of it as a developmental point. And probably the point of saying at age 8, you've got a lot of stuff going on then. You also have your sun in the 5th and your moon at 8. And so whatever the story was that was going on in your family would have had an impact. So 8 is like 3rd grade, I think. And I would say to you, were you in your first play then? Were you in your first partnership at that point? You know, what was the story that went on with you then? Yes, something happened at that age. But then the next question is to say to you, well, how did you experience it? What happened in your life that is pivotal to that? But it doesn't affect your ability to be an actress or to create. If a planet's retrograde, it simply means that the process tends to be a little more internal for the person, not necessarily something they can see, but it's going on, or it's not something that they necessarily publicize, but it's going on for them under the surface. So, you know,
Awesome.
Yeah. But it doesn't affect your ability to be, you know, do the work you want to do. But it does imply that at that age there was a major excitement or change in your family structure. Did something happen with your dad's employment or some change in terms of the family?
It could have been a good thing. It's a taking on the next level of responsibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that was really traumatic that happened to me was that when I was 18, my brother got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has nothing to do with 8.
Nope.
No.
I don't know.
Think of something far more subtle and thoughtful that was happening at 8. Can you, what do you think of that, what was going on in your family around that time?
Things were pretty normal. That's, you know.
Okay.
Because there's also Jupiter in there. There's also Jupiter in there. My grandfather died when I was 8.5.
Okay, there you go. It didn't mean a trauma. Doesn't mean anything terrible, but that could have changed the family structure. That the seriousness and responsibility that was going on, was that your mother's father or your father's father?
Yes, my mother's father.
Right, because that's the Saturn to the moon. She may have felt more like she had to be the grown-up now in a new way, and she may have felt a little sad or thoughtful or less playful at that time, and the whole family may have been a little bit more aware of their responsibilities in the face of life and death. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a maturation process. So Saturn wants us to grow up. Saturn is a teacher. It's not always about restriction or problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think all of the family went through a maturation growth on that side, and Mother may have felt less playful and more serious because of it around that time, because her father died.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Or she had extra responsibilities to take care of him, and then you kids were kind of more on your own because she just couldn't do the level of support she'd done up until that point because she was busy running back and forth to the hospital. You know, a lot of times when there's a terminal illness, it disrupts the family structure on some major level because as the person dies, everybody goes to the hospital, they run around, they take care of people, and then after the family member passes, then there's a readjustment in the structure of the family because a member has left, and so kind of like a wound healing, the skin grows over, but there's a little scar tissue there. And the family dynamics change when a parent dies. Always, I've never seen a family where it hasn't happened, simply because one of the lead dogs is left. And so the new, who's in charge now, who's the priority, who's the person who makes the decisions, all that kind of comes up for discussion or review. And for you, because it was angular, I think that's probably why the astrologer noted it, because angular planets tend to have a bigger story, meaning it's on your ascendant, tends to have a bigger story than the ones that are tucked away in, say, the Caden houses in 3, 6, 9, or 12. Those houses are a little less, we don't notice them so much, but we notice the planets sitting on the angles because they're right in our face or they're in the face of the other people. So,
Anne, do we have anybody else on the line?
Thank you.
We'll make sure we get more time.
Yeah, no problem. Nope, nobody else. We're good. Okay, cool. And again, our
call. Okay, why don't you give out the number again?
The number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So we have 22 minutes remaining. So let's talk about. I have to say, I listened to Obama's speech in the Nobel Prize accepting.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it. A friend of mine read it and was talking about it. It felt different when you read it. But I thought that one might be something to talk about. And also the health care bill unraveling, or the reports that it's unraveling and what that means. And, of course, if we want to get into the gossip, Tiger, because Mars is retrograde and Mars rules tigers as well as lions and big cats. So he'll be back to golf, I think, in the spring when Mars goes direct. I think he's not gone for that long. But I also thought it was an interest. There's a lot of stuff in the news when we have planets stopping because situations that we thought that were going to go forward suddenly can't. And so we're having a lot of reversals with the energy, with Mars going retrograde and the Jupiter-Neptune joining. So thoughts, comments, observations from my wise council of astrologers, Chiron and Neptune out there. I'm Jupiter.
One of the things that I see happening with Obama's chart, I mentioned before, he has his Venus at 2 degrees of Cancer. And Venus, you know, is usually how much people love you and how you love the world. And his Venus in Cancer is a part of him that can be a little reserved, even though the rest of his Leo is shining. So sometimes we need him to be even more enthusiastic for the hope that we see. And when he gets reserved and thoughtful, you know, people get a little worried. I think that's one of the things that makes him, that he does consider things deeply. But Pluto is opposing his Venus right now. And when Pluto opposes any of our Venus, we may feel unloved. We may feel unlovable. It may be hard for us to trust our heart. And we feel we have to be more defended, more defensive, and more mental than we do when Venus is not opposed our Pluto is not opposed our Venus. And Venus challenges us to love in the face of loss. And Obama has, when we do astrocartography, which we take a chart and look where around the world the planets were hitting the major angles at the time the person was born. It tells us a lot about how a person interrelates to the world, you know, how they are when they move to different places and how they are affected by different parts of the world. Yeah, for instance, if someone has a Neptune line running through India, they tend to be drawn to Eastern religions and might have a guru. You know, if they have Neptune line running through Israel, they may be very drawn to the Holy Land. It's a Neptunian issue. Well, Obama has Venus running close to Afghanistan, and I think that he has an emotional attachment for seeing that thing through, which he made very clear in no uncertain terms in his campaign speeches that he was going to bring troops to Afghanistan. And as Pluto opposes his Venus through there, but I don't think he can see it easily. I don't think he can see it clearly right now with Pluto opposed his Venus. But usually a president has problems, has war problems, whether you have Mars or Pluto lines throughout the world, not where they have Venus lines. So you wouldn't look at that chart and say, oh, Obama's going to send troops to Afghanistan. But with this Pluto opposes Venus, and it will be there through the year, you'd expect to see a problem with that. And on the outside of it, possibly as Pluto gets off his Venus, I see him investing in the infrastructure and the compassionate aspects of Venus in Afghanistan, of what he can do to rebuild the positive aspects in Afghanistan and not just take a military approach to the problem. That's what I'm seeing in his chart. What about you two?
Well, when I look at the transiting Pluto opposite his Venus and I see what's going on, I have a suspicion that he got taken off woodshed a couple of times recently, once by the big players in the healthcare industry,
mm-hmm.
and once by the big players in the military-industrial complex. And they basically let him know that the president can have a certain amount of influence, and that president gets to have a lot more influence if his program goes along with the other players. If his program doesn't go along with theirs, he's going to find out that he is not the big player. And I think that's what's happened. He basically got told, here's how things are going to be.
He got told what?
Here's how things are going to be.
Mm.
There's strict limits. You know, you can have all your plans and ideals, but you're one guy. And at the end of the day, there are a lot of stronger forces at play here. And they're not only domestic, but international. And, you know, I think basically he was told, we have a bigger agenda than you've been thinking about for both
of us. Yeah, the big Pluto aspect.
Yeah, that's it. It's Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he basically had an interview with Pluto and was told, this is bigger than you, pal. That's my sense. And I think that's why he's looking rather grim and slightly held back. I think there's clearly a sense that he's something's being held back in his approach. You know.
Kind of an emotional held back, right?
Yeah. There's a holding back, and I think he got a little more of a glimpse of Pluto than he wanted to see.
Right.
And that unfortunately is a reality. Because there are a lot of players in all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of manipulation that goes on. And there's a lot at stake for a lot of people.
Right.
So, you know, then when we see Pluto opposite Venus, he's experiencing that.
Mm-hmm. And who do you call when you're the president of the United States? It's like we can call the police and say, you know, there's someone breaking into my house. But when you're the president of the United States, like, who do you call that's bigger than you to say, you know, there's these guys giving me a hard time here, telling me I have to go to war? See, I have a lot of Scorpio on my chart. And one of the things that I was very curious about was the configuration for the break-in to the White House, you know, by those crashers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know, like here's a couple of little people walking up, just slipping by the front door, you know. And I thought, you know, as a demonstration of how easy it is for us to get in, we'll get some people in to shake your hand. And we'll let you know you're not invulnerable. You're not. We can do whatever we want at whatever time we would like to do it. Secret Service notwithstanding. So I looked at that, and to me, the emotional fallout from that woman walking up and shaking his hand, you know, I mean, she could have been a spy. She could have delivered poison. You know, I did with the guy who got poisoned by Putin with the radioactive stuff, you know, in the tea room or the Japanese restaurant. You know, he met this guy he knew, and he got poisoned. And here, he's in the White House, supposedly the most secure place in the entire world, or it's, I mean, that's what we're spending our tax dollars for, and in waltzes a couple of people that just go, hi, we're here, you know. So if you're sitting there going, what are you going to do? I'm safe. I'm protected by the Secret Service. And they go, not so much. You know, we can get by the Secret Service. We've done it before. What are you thinking, fella? It would make you pause. And it would make you think about it. And it was definitely, you know, that event kind of freaked him on some level, I think, you know, from the chart. It didn't look like, I mean, certainly we didn't hear he was upset. And, you know, the Secret Service said, oh, we were bad. But they got by the door. And if you can get by the door, anybody can. Because all you have to do is make sure that whoever's on the door that night.
Yeah, the safety is an illusion.
The safety is an illusion, yeah. So while you're being guarded ostensibly by the biggest, boldest, best.
That is Pluto-opposed Venus.
That is Pluto-opposed Venus. You are not as safe as you think you are. Yes, you're in the big prison, but we know where you are more than you know where we are. And I looked at the aspects for that, and I actually wrote in my column, I said, you know, this is not good, but I hadn't thought of it in terms of your way of saying it, Mark, like they took him out to the woodshed. But that would make a really good example of taking you out to the woodshed. Oh, we'll show you how secure you are. No problem, big guy. And then you go, oh, I am not secure. I thought I was safe, but not so much anymore. So.
And back to your more trivial but also interesting question. Do you know have a time for Tiger Woods?
Yeah, I do. I got it's a Virgo rising. He's got a 27 degree. I'll pull it up. He's got a 27 degree Virgo rising, which makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
He's got Saturn on it right now. He's getting a lot of he's giving birth to his new relationship. him as December 30th, 1975, 11:02 in the afternoon. In Cyprus.
Okay, 11:02 p.m.
Yeah, in Cyprus, California. 11:02 p.m., yeah. So he's born at midnight.
And
gives
so
him a Virgo
he
rising.
Is that he has Mars in Gemini, which is the capacity to love more than one person.
And to lie about it.
But Venus in Scorpio, which doesn't really want to share who he loves.
Mm-hmm.
But I see him as being more of a love addict than a sex addict. That he really, I mean, you from the looks of there are very few things. I have not been following this carefully, but I saw a few of the emails, and it looked like he honestly thought that these women who loved him for being famous loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to be falling, you know, in love with one crazy, wild woman after the other who played him, and he fell for it. Because his Mars and Venus and Scorpio can be very relationship addictive, and the Mars in Gemini can keep trying with the next one. And I don't think it's going to get any better for him until Pluto comes to conjunct his Sun in a few years. I think he's got a couple of years of, you know, his old way of living has ended. He's still a wonderful sports person, and people should just leave his romantic life alone.
It's
but
none of the
his,
business of consenting adults.
Yeah, just focus on what he does, you know. If you ask people to be Mars, let them be Mars, and Mars is never about loyalty.
We know the guy's got a big Mars because he likes to win all the time, so he needs to take
right.
his Mars out for a run.
And let his wife handle it, you know. But that doesn't mean that people have to pay him as a sponsor. Now, that's another question. But then,
well, I thought it was interesting because Gillette fired him because women buy razor blades. Apparently, women buy the razor blades, whereas Nike didn't because men buy their own sneakers.
Very interesting.
And I thought, wow, okay, that works for me. You know, Nike obviously, or Gillette obviously knows who buys the blades in the in the house, and that's it. They're not buying Tiger anymore. And but the whatchahoozy people, totally cool. We'll go with them. Yeah. So, I didn't mean to interrupt, Heather.
Well, they're perfect.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, we have another caller. You want to pick them up?
Yes, please.
All right. So 347. Hello. 347. Are you there? Hello. Hello. Oh, it says no caller. They were there, but they disappeared. I don't know where they went.
Another interesting astrological phenomenon. If you looked at Bertolucci, I think is how you pronounce it, the Prime Minister of Italy.
Now that guy is a hound dog.
Yes, he is.
He is.
And he also has Venus and Mars. I believe Venus is at, Mars is at 2 degrees of Scorpio. I know one of them is in Scorpio, and one's, I don't have the chart right in front of me. But both of them are around 2 degrees also, both being aspected by Pluto right now. And he is, got his face smashed in by a constituent this week.
Oh, really? I missed that. Somebody hit him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in a crowd full of people, and someone had a plaster statue. And again, with this Mars stationary, with all these planets and fire signs, people, the kinds of crimes you're going to see are less premeditated and more on the spot. Guys standing there with a statue of, of a religious figure or some kind of shrine, and threw it in his face, broke 2 teeth, and broke his nose.
Wow. I missed that completely.
Mm-hmm. And again, he's also in trouble with a lot of other people because of that.
Who's in trouble with a lot?
His hound dogness.
Oh, his hound dogness. Yeah, I know. He's been a hound dog all along. He just owns all the newspapers, so he doesn't get reported on. First you buy the media, then you run for power, and then they don't say anything nasty about you. Fortunately, Tiger didn't buy the media with any of his money. He bought boats.
Yeah.
But if he'd bought the media, they might be a little nicer to him. Yeah, no, I think it's really – well, in Switzerland, Switzerland let Roman Polanski loose. But the other thing, they're kind of going wild over there. They're releasing the bank accounts. They did something. Mm-hmm. They passed the law of no minarets, and some guy built a minaret on top of his shoe store saying, I'm going to build a minaret if I want to. People are going to be a little crazy on this Mars retrograde. And if you understand that, you don't take it personally. You just go, oh, okay, they're a little crazy, aren't they? And they're really feeling very passionate. Mm-hmm. Last time when we had a Mars retrograde before, I think that was when Bush got the shoe thrown at him by that guy. And it's like, why'd he do it? Because I could. It's like, I'm not happy with you. I'm going to throw a shoe at you. And it's understandable.
Yeah,
we're all in the mood to kind of throw shoes at people or hit them on the head with a religious statue. Although I don't think the statue really liked smashing the prime minister's head in,
And that should make relatives, dinner with the relatives over the holidays kind of interesting.
All I know is we're all assembling in Colorado, and I'm just going to duck under the dining room table. That's my plan. Go skiing and duck under the table. None of this family stuff. No.
And next week on the solstice, we'll be talking a lot more about it next Monday night. But on the solstice, on the 21st, we've got next week on Monday that lineup of Jupiter, Neptune and Chiron exact, asking us to really to coalesce our vision and move towards our spiritual life and to look at the language that we speak to ourselves with. I think that right now it's a really magical set of aspects coming up. But we have to look at the magic that we speak. And notice our inner voice to ourselves, our inner dialogue. If we keep saying to ourselves, I can't get sick, I won't get sick, I shouldn't get sick, you're going to get sick. But if we can keep it focused on, I this is what I'm excited about. Where can I take this? What can I do? Where can I make an improvement here? How can I move into healthiness? I know I've been sick, so how do I become healthy? And focus on what we want to vision, and watch the negative talk, not move into denial, which is Neptune's other side, but to use these magical aspects to move, and the fire sign Venus and Mars to move us towards where we want to go. It will automatically help heal some of what we'd like to leave behind. If we want to, around solstice, really vision a loving world, we can put that energy into the world and push it in that direction. To use next week's visionary aspects with love and care, and then know that for the next 6 months to a year, we'll be working on those plans.
Totally cool.
Mark, do you have any more final things that you'd like to say?
No, I think we pretty well covered it.
We pretty
and
well
Ed,
covered
you
it.
Have
what?
Any rapids?
One more time? I missed it. I've got a little cloggy in my ear here. The leftover of the cold. What was the question?
I just said, do you have any final...
One more time? You both talked? Yeah, no.
You have anything to add, Anne?
Oh, anything to add, okay. It's one of those days. I tell you, you know, I can feel the Mercury, the Mars stationing. It's opposite my ascendant. I'm not hearing well. I'm hearing, but I go, what? What did you say? Sounding like a little old lady. All right, I would say optimism is a good thing. However, if you want to hit somebody this week, don't. And understand that the reason you want to hit them is because something sudden, unexpected, but on some level you knew it, even though you didn't know it, popped out at you. And your job is to say, oh, wow, I didn't know that was going on. And then when you see it, then to say, and before I hit you, let me go think about what I want to do about this. Because it is a desire to whack the prime minister in the nose with a statue. Not a good idea. So, you know, take the Mars energy and then go sit it somewhere. Let it fume a little. You know, you can certainly call a friend up and rant and rave. But then once you've finished ranting and raving, then go say, okay, so what's the plan? Because remember, with Mars retrograde, the instinct is sometimes to whack them in the nose, or to break up with them, or to end it, or to say, I'm done, I'm through, I can't do this anymore, because Mars is going backwards. So you don't have to end it, but you do definitely need to modify it, figure out what you want to do to change it. The plan that you had isn't working. Maybe a new plan is good, new course of action, rather than smacking them on the nose with the statue. Although if you're really frustrated, hit them on the nose with the statue and give the name of somebody you don't like when they come to arrest you. Say, oh, no.
What do you have, Scorpio?
Too many planets. What can I say? So, yeah, I got a little paranoid here tonight, right, with my collusion theories on, you know, whatever. But when Mark said the thing, you know, he got a talking to,
I thought you had a very interesting point I hadn't thought of.
I hadn't thought of it. That was brilliant. It was like, oh, my God, you know, because I was looking at they let people through. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I could crash a party. I used to be a really good crasher when I was younger. I looked very innocent. You know, I'm going to go try and crash a White House party now. Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
So for the rest of this week, this new moon in Sagittarius asks us how we'd like to move through the world. Let's take it outside, and right now, if anything else gets frustrating, a good walk is wonders for you. We're going to say goodnight. If you would like to read more about us or contact one of us, you can go to astronyc.com and get more information about us and our websites. This is Heather Rowan Robbins signing out from Trinidad, Colorado, and we have Mark.
Mark Waltz in Manhattan, New York City.
And Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side, my bright red desk. And now I'm going to go to bed. I'm really excited.
Great.
It's been a long week.
See you all next week.
Talk to you all next week. Sleep well.
Take care. Good night.
Bye.